big event.
One would be reached to him and poke him in the... Right, good evening everybody. seems too nice outside to be coming in for a meeting, but I'm sure it'll be dark when we go out. Unless Ralph wants a quick meeting.
That's a good one, to go down. It's lovely now, but it'll be dark.
Right, anyone who's picked up an agenda... we'll see before we start. There's a piece of paper attached to it with task and finish meetings dates on. Please don't throw your papers away and throw the dates away, because it's important that we get as many people as possible to come and look at the task and finish. Okie doke, let's go on to page 2, which is the agenda. Have we minutes for the last meeting, and is everyone happy with them?
As read and published, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I will sign them now, or Jackie will complain about me. There you go.
Thank you, Chair.
Many thanks. Have we any apologies?
Councillor Aspin, who has been substituted by Councillor Cross.
Right. And I understand that Philip Leeson's...
I've not heard from Councillor right. Leeson.
Okay. Right. Could we go, therefore, on to public question time, of which is none. Councillor session, of which there is none. And called in items, of which there is none. Likewise, members' items, none. We move on to officers' reports, please. And I understand, Nirmal, you've got a report for us following on from a previous meeting where we wrote a letter. Do you want to come to the table? Thank you.
You're welcome. So the purpose of the note is to inform members of the progress of the completion of the fire risk assessments for the Stafford portfolio of public and commercial buildings. Following a deep dive of compliance within the SBC corporate assets team in September 2024, it became clear that there were no fire risk assessments for the portfolio of public and commercial buildings. In terms of the legal background, the regulatory reform order came into force in October 2006. It applies to almost all buildings except individual private homes. This includes workplaces, public buildings, shops, schools, hospitals, care homes and common areas of flats. The regulatory reform order aims to ensure the safety of people in non-domestic premises by making fire safety a proactive, ongoing responsibility for those in control of buildings. The key requirements of the order place certain duties on a responsible person, usually the employer, owner or person in control of the premises. The responsible person must ensure that a fire risk assessment is carried out to identify fire hazards, assess risks and implement measures to reduce or eliminate those risks. Based on the risk assessment, the appropriate fire safety measures must be put in place. These include fire detection and warning systems, e.g. fire alarms, safe escape routes and emergency exits, firefighting equipment, such as extinguishers, emergency plans and evacuation procedures, training for staff and regular fire drills. Special consideration needs to be given to vulnerable people, e.g. those with disabilities, and they must be considered in fire safety planning. These fire safety arrangements must be maintained, reviewed and updated regularly. Records of fire risk assessments and actions taken must be kept. So in terms of progress to date, of the 30 SBC operational sites managed by the corporate assets team, all 30 now have a fire risk assessment. They were completed by July 2025. Recommendations from the reports were minimal, with no dangerous issues or urgent items highlighted, or remedial actions. Recommendations have been completed or are in hand. In terms of the commercial portfolio, those are the leased properties, of which we have around 60. 29 tenants have been contacted to request that they submit details of compliance related matters, including virus assessments. The remaining 31 will be contacted by tomorrow. Of the 29 tenants already contacted, 15 have provided virus assessments. Freedom Leisure have provided reports for all of the sites that they manage on our behalf. A live register is being held by Corporate Assets team to log responses and highlight outstanding action. So in terms of the recommendations from the surveys, that these vary, but importantly, there were no deficiencies, within any of the services that would materially affect the building users or compromise evacuation procedures in the event of fire. So we've got an example here of two of the busiest sites, which is the Civic Centre and the very low level items that have been requested. So we have got an action plan for those. So do you want me to run through the list of 9 actions that were identified for this building?
I think it will be quite interesting, for me anyway.
So the high risk that we had, and we've already had that completed, was review the storage in the loading bay and rear corridor to ensure that exit routes are not obstructed and can be used at all times. So that action's has been completed. Ensure that tenants undertake fire risk assessments for their areas. So as you know, we've got floors in the building that are leased out to third parties. Review the use of lobbies leading to the fire escape in escapes in Block A to ensure these areas are kept clear at all times. That was completed on the 22nd of July. We have asked the tenants for their fire risk assessments. Consider introducing a hot work permit system to control any hot works. This is being considered, and we've got a target date for October 2025 for the completion of those. Review the storage of waste bins and consider relocating them from outside of the building. That's ongoing, so we're looking for an alternative place for those bins to go. Remove the trip hazards on the route to the exit doors from development and planning. That's been completed. Remove the plank and brick from the foot of the escape stairs. That's been completed. Consider reviewing the fire compartmentation separating the separate core and escape staircases. So that survey has been booked, and then there will be some additional work in terms of compartmentation of this building. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Yeah, thank you very much. There was a concern, but it does sound like you've been quite busy since we had the risk assessment. Does anyone want to ask any further questions, or are we happy?
Will the report be published? Will that be published so it comes out as an attachment to the minutes?
You can certainly have a copy of the report, should you wish to do so. I have been asked to provide the same information to audit. This week, so I'll be providing them with the same information. I have got the information relating to Stafford Crematorium as well, if you want to know what the issues that were highlighted there were. There was around 7.
Thank you.
You got them?
If it comes as an annex, then we've got a copy we can refer back to, Chairman.
Okay, so in terms of the crematorium, rehang the inward opening single leaf exit door to open outwards rather than inwards, and that was completed in August. Replace the locks on the exit doors with easily openable fastenings, that was completed in August. Ensure that extension leads and adapters are not used for multiple high power appliances, so that's ongoing and will be monitored. Review the storage of fuel within the grounds. Within the grounds maintenance store, so that's been completed on the 15th of June. Consider installing emergency lighting in the chapel to illuminate the exits. That's been completed. And confirm the fire safety systems are tested and maintained. That's an ongoing action and will be monitored. Confirm all staff undertake induction and refresher training on fire drills as required, so that will be an ongoing action.
Right, thank you so much. I've got Emma first.
Hi, Sal. My only question is, obviously this kind of came to light because we were reviewing the corporate report and we kind of had a 0% completion on the fire risk assessments. Are you guys kind of comfortable as a department, you've got a plan going forward to ensure that these are kind of reviewed on a regular basis?
Yes, we have.
perfect. If you kind of have that little plan, would you be able to send that out with the report? So if you've got kind of like the process you guys are going to follow.
We haven't got that process written down because we've got a various amounts of compliance issues that we record. So we have the electrical fire checks every 5 years. We have the asbestos testing. We have Legionella testing. So there's lots of different compliance areas that we monitor. So we will have processes in place to ensure the fire risk assessments have to be completed every 2 years. So they will now be done every 2 years. It's very much on our radar.
And do they happen on a phase basis, sorry, Chair? Or do they sort of all happen in the same period, do we know?
Because we've now picked this up as an outstanding action for a long time, these will now all be done all in one go, because we're talking about 30 properties in total, so they'll all be done pretty much all in one go.
Perfect, thank you.
It's easy to procure.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You mentioned that you'd have 15 risk assessments provided back.
Yeah.
Of the other 16, are they tenants? Are they other organisations? And when are we expecting those? Because obviously there is a, from my understanding, there's a legal requirement from us as well as them.
We've been informed by our legal team that they are not legally obliged to provide us with their fire risk assessments. As a landlord, what we can do is ask them for the information and remind them of their obligations, and that's what we're doing. So we can't force them to share the information with us.
So of the 16, we haven't received their tenants?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
And as a sorry, Chair, and it's the first time we've actually engaged with the tenants asking them for this type of information, so we're not just asking them for the assessments, we're asking them for the insurance, their Legionella testing and all the other compliance information that we expect a good business to have in place.
Is this part of the sort of tenancy agreement?
I want to say it is, but they're not obliged to share the information with us.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Brian?
Does part of the assessments you do include cost assessments on fuels, lubricants, chemicals?
Not as part of the fire risk assessments, no, they're separate assessments that each individual.
Even though you could have someone storing petrol, etc., that is a fire risk.
Yeah, I think that's where they've asked us to review the fuel within the grounds of the maintenance store. At the crematorium.
Sorry, I used to be IOSH qualified in a previous life.
Did you disappoint me?
Thank you, Chair. Okay.
In the light of Grenfell and one or two other sad tragedies, I'm really pleased that we, as a committee, managed to flag this up, because I think it's very important, and I'm sure you must have taken a breath when you realised there was zero. I don't need a comment, so that was that. And obviously with us purchasing this building, it's important that we look after it. So thank you very much for your time. Okay, so we'll now move on to item 7B, Head of Transformation and Assurance. Do you want to take us through this report, please?
I'll go through it slowly, section at a time, and pause at the end of each bit, just in case you want to ask any questions. They're not particularly long anyway. So if I take the first one, which is the extract around climate change, there were two actions that were due within quarter one. One of those has been completed in full, and the other one is a matter of work in progress. There were actions to be done in each of the quarters for that one. In terms of, has anybody got any questions on the climate change before we move on to the next one?
Roy?
Judith, would you tell me who the elected members are?
I might have to defer to my colleague who was involved with
for climate change, climate action and the environment, it's Council Peers.
Sorry, say again?
It's Council Peers.
You said elected members, I was never invited.
I think, right, it might have been Cabinet, possibly.
Actually, through you, Chair, I was invited to this, but I don't know what capacity, because I was a cabinet member or an elected member or whatever. As it happened, I wasn't able to go to any of the workshops because it clashed with all sorts of other engagements I had.
Could we have...
I suppose the question I'm asking is, you know, where was this promulgated? Because certainly I never saw it.
Yeah. Can we have a response back on that, please? As to who was actually asked.
Yeah, I'll liaise with Gabrielle and Will.
Because I think this there's similar questions further down the agenda on local government disorganisation.
Okay, same thing.
Okay. Sorry.
Just on the delivery of climate change school engagement, there's an organisation in Stafford that's worked with a lot of primary schools called There's No Planet B. I don't know if the council has liaised with them, but they've got quite a lot of contacts with primary schools for workshops they've delivered with them, so I don't know if it's just worth connecting with them as an organisation, because they've got quite a lot of inroads to different, particularly primary schools where they've done workshops with them on kind of climate change education, so it might be worth speaking to them and making some support with some contacts.
Okay.
So move on then to the extract that relates to the effective council. So there were four actions due in the first quarter for that one, and work has been commenced against all of those. None of them have been completed in full yet, but I'd say work is underway. Don't know if there's anything in particular there that members want to know anything more about. The action around the BFM is obviously reported on in some detail to the Audit and Accounts Committee, so they'll be receiving a full update on progress on that one next week, and actually the review of the code of governance is part of that improvement plan.
Could we sort of just pause at that point, because I think this has been discussed before, and it is very important that I feel that all councillors get a chance to have at the very least early sight of what's being proposed, and at best some sort of input into this. Can you tell us, as a committee, what the plans are to involve councillors? Just ordinary councillors, not cabinet members.
Just the local government reorganisation?
Yes.
So, as members will be aware, we submitted the outline proposal back in March, I think it was. And since that time, we've been working with the other five councils in Mid and Southern Staffordshire to develop proposals, and they've been working on two options, one of which would see all six councils become a new unitary, and the other one would see us split into two lots of three. We've had some consultants helping us with that piece of work, and they've just completed the first draft of the report on that. It is slightly behind where we'd expected to be, because we were waiting on some of the data from Staffordshire County Council, because we're not just doing the proposal for Southern Staffordshire, whatever we do has to be a proposal that covers the whole of Staffordshire. So as I say, we're a little bit behind, we've just had that as officers, and we're working through that at the moment, just checking it for factual accuracy and what have you. But the intention is, as I understand it, will then to bring that forward to full council. And I believe it's going to full council first, and then it will go into cabinet for cabinet to make the final decision. But so it's intended to come to full council, so all members will be engaged and conceived at that point. We are also looking at some options about how we might do potentially briefing for them. But as I say, a lot of it at the moment, we're working with quite limited time constraints for this, because it's all got to be done and approved by and submitted by the 28th of November. So as I say, we're still working through the timetable for how that's going to flow through, but it will certainly come to all members.
Brian.
Has the proposal from the County Council been discussed or taken into consideration at all, which is totally different from what we wish to do?
No, our piece of work has only looked primarily at two options. They did, I'm trying to remember, there is a reference in the report to them having looked at an option earlier in the process and discounted it, but it isn't the County Council's proposal, or certainly not the current County Council proposal. I think they looked at the option of a whole county unitary.
The previous county council, the present one, is sort of splitting it down the middle. I mean, I'm glad they're keeping Stoke in the other bit, but...
No, the consultants that we've engaged in Midland, Southern Staffordshire haven't looked at that as an option, and that's come out very late to us in the process, so we won't be looking in any more detail at that.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Mine was, you're still working with the six, so why are the other three to the east wanting to do their own thing? What worries the head out of me is that you're going to end up with about five different proposals going down to Westminster. Those idiots down there will turn around and say, seeing as you guys can't make up your mind, I'll make it up for you.
You've got
total Stafford, and you've got Stoke.
There is quite a realistic possibility that there will be multiple options going in for Staffordshire, but that is being driven at a political level as to each
as opposed to common sense level.
Couldn't comment on that.
No, I would.
So
we're not unlike many other Shire counties, though. A lot of them have been working on multiple proposals, maybe not quite as many as five, but it's not uncommon for there to be two or three, because it's quite an emotive subject and everybody's got a different view on it.
Emma?
I think a briefing prior to the full council probably would be helpful for members. Just because obviously it won't have time to go through the scrutiny process because we don't have another meeting, do we, between now and the end of November. So I think it probably would be useful to have a briefing for members in advance of full council. Obviously the time constraints mean that it's challenging, but I think members would make themselves available for it because it's really important and therefore probably would attend. I think it's probably worth individual members thinking about what they actually want out of that process. So we have a series of options that are based on financial viability and advice on how we were able to do this in terms of what we're faced with, which is not of anyone's choosing. So it would be important to like consider individually as members and maybe think about how we would actually want to engage with that, because we don't want to end up picking bits around the edges and spending that time not thinking about, well, strategically, what would that look like? Do we think that's the right proposal to go forward? Are we comfortable with the rationale behind it, the financial viability behind it? And understanding that element, rather than saying, oh, I don't like this particular tiny detail, rather than thinking holistically about it. So I think it's probably important for members to consider that. And I don't know how that's best done through group leaders, through whatever, but I think it's probably important for us to think about what we actually want out of that process, because it could end up a bit like briefings of the past, where people bring up very small items and not necessarily think strategically about what we're trying to achieve as part of our proposal. If it ends up a dog's dinner, then it's definitely not going to be picked by central government, isn't it? So we want to make sure that it's productive. But I think briefing would be really helpful in advance of full council.
I think if I can just answer, I think the intention was very much for it to be an opportunity for members to be able to ask their questions of understanding.
Yeah.
Because it is quite a long document. There are a number of technical elements, so I think it's important for them to understand some of the detail in there.
None
okay.
of us want that I'm sure.
As resources scrutiny, I think it's fairly important that we do sort of take a handle on this. Apologies to the cabinet member, but I think it's important for the council and for the residents of Stafford and Staffordshire as to what actually happens here. In terms of the council meeting, you said it'll come to council. Is that the next council meeting? Is the first question from me.
I don't believe so. Ian would like to be better placed.
The next scheduled council meeting is 2nd December. That would be too late, so it won't be an extraordinary council meeting.
And have you any idea when that would be?
We're looking backwards from 28th November, and we're going to look at the logistics. So you're probably looking to get it November, but we haven't got the actual date.
Because I do think it's important, as Emma and other people have said, that councillors, even if we have an executive summary now, an executive summary is not that difficult, because people can then pick out what they want out of that executive summary rather than dying by probably cut and paste, but there you go. So how are you going to report back to us when these meetings are, because and what form they take? Because I feel quite strongly that we ought to have some form of pre-briefing, because if you just put it on the table on the night of the council or on the agenda the week before, people won't have, I don't feel, will have the full ability to scrutinise it, because all the councillors will want to, or hopefully will want to scrutinise it before they go to the council meeting, so that they are at least switched on.
As I say, at the moment we're working through the details of our timetable. I would imagine once we've agreed what the timetable looks like, that the chief executive and the leader will write back to all members advising of the process for that.
Yeah, and hoping to get that sorted sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's great, sooner rather than later. Could you give us some sort of an idea of when sooner is, rather than just us sitting here hoping it happens?
Well, I've got to sort it in the committee calendar. I've got to make those arrangements, so I'd want it sorted in the next couple of weeks, but...
Brilliant. So can you give us a nudge in 2 weeks' time, please? Ask if we can then ask what's happening with this timetable. So that does come through resources, and make that sort of information available to all members of resources scrutiny as well. I've got Roy first and then Emma again.
Parish councils.
There's an ongoing debate about where they may fit into that process as well. Again, it's all down to the logistics and what we can fit into the time period and how long it's going to take us to finalise the reports with KPMG as well.
Okay.
Emma?
I was just going to say, as opposed to an executive summary, perhaps when we have a series of principles, that would be more useful. An executive summary is normally written at the very end, when every detail is hashed out, and then you summarise what you're about to present to people, which I appreciate will come a lot later. So perhaps something like a set of principles with some key data in that we have, rather than necessarily, if that would be available quicker, to kind of get people kind of with their eyes on things, rather than an executive summary, which, if there's anything like me in business, you write last, i.e. a few days before it goes on the agenda, rather than first.
Yeah, I think it's going to be feasible for us to produce something else over and above.
For the briefing prior to council, right, rather than addition.
Okay.
We'll end up having to write a covering report, and it may be possible to build something into that. But as I say, we won't have the capacity to do much more than that, as well as trying to finalise the report.
Yeah.
Unless I'm the gentleman behind the bed to do that.
I was asked by the chief executive if he thought that Stafford Borough Council wasn't being aware of the gravity of the situation, and I said no, but all of us were aware of the gravity of the situation. So this is incredibly important for us, because this is the future and what it may or may not look like.
Just a query, something I don't understand. On page 6, Code of Governance, the code has received SIPLA.
Apologies, that's a typo. It should be SIPFA. I thought I fixed it up and had it corrected, so that's my error. So SIPFA is the Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy. That's our professional body.
Thank you.
Okay, are we all okay with that? Right. Do you want to carry on?
So moving on to the key performance indicators then. We don't yet have any for climate change. They will be coming up. That's a piece of work that will be done by the offices that we'll be taking it to the Daily Post shortly. In terms of the ones for the effective council, there are two that just haven't quite achieved target. The first one of those is the figures for the collection of NNDR. And that's just slightly down on where we were at this point last year. And as the report explains, that's partly caused by the detailed hospitality and leisure premises facing the sharp increase in there, and also the delay in some new assessments that have gone through, and they've gone through after the annual billing process. So they receive their income will be slightly later. So at the moment, there are no particular concerns that we're not going to achieve target by the end of the year. But as I say, we're still a bit behind at the moment. And then the other one was the process and time for FOI request. And although that hasn't quite met the target, it is actually an improvement on our end of year position. And that's just attributable to delays in the various departments that get those requests and processing. And that can just depend on the volume of requests we've got at any one time compared with the amount of the work that's going on.
Okay.
Just a couple of questions, please, Mr. Chairman. Page 11, the bottom, number of services online. Is that an aspiration to have more than 55, or?
We're using this year to kind of establish a bit of a benchmark. So that's what we've created. That's the number of services that are available online as in quarter one. I won't guarantee that we'll have new ones each quarter, but we are constantly looking to see if there are opportunities to create new forms, and then we'll have services accessible. So I do expect that certainly to increase over the course of the year, and then we'll set a target for next year.
On page 12, we've got premises facing sharp increases in their bills. Are we keeping our tabs on these people, because these are some of the people who go on for year and year and year, don't pay their rates, don't pay their bills, and then suddenly we have to write them off. So are we going in hard on them or soft on them at the early stages to make absolutely sure there's a plan in place, or they have a plan in place to pay their bills?
They will all be monitored in accordance with our normal debt collection arrangements, and obviously that's a piece of work that the Task and Finch Group are looking at as well. So.
Okay. And the final one was freedom of information, 20 days.
That's the, I would say, it's the statutory time.
20 working days is the deadline to respond to the request.
Falling behind.
Yeah, as I say, it will very much depend on the volume of requests we're getting in at any one time, the complexity of them, the amount of other work the officers have got on. I say that's not down to the coordinating department, that is across all departments who are responding to those requests.
Okay.
And that can vary, as I say, depending on how many requests we've got on one time.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Well done. Is that it? Thank you so much. We move on to the work programme. Am I right? Yeah. So we have got a work programme populated, haven't we? On the back, a few pages. Do you want to just go through?
Just by means of an update. Members asked for section 106 to be on here. I've spoken to head of economic development and planning, and there is a report that's going to be going to economic development scrutiny in I think it's December, and so we'll get it the following meeting, which will be March.
I think Francis Beattie wanted at least
a joint meeting
at least once a year. Are members happy with that proposal? Yeah, okay, so can you sort of liaise with them and decide when it's best to have this joint meeting?
Chair, is it possible to add that actually back onto this work programme then, because it did disappear? So it's not in a future item or in the timetable that I already have. It just went off.
I've written it on my
perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that, sorry, just to clarify, is that report on the unallocated section 106 numbers?
It should be on everything, because we need an overview.
There's three items that we missed off from the last meeting to this meeting. One's the 106 reallocation money, one is the local plan, and one is the IT project.
Thank you for that. Did you pick that up, Jackie?
Local plan would be going to economic development and planning.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one, sorry?
IT projects.
IT projects. I don't know about IT projects.
Back in July, I think it's the 24th, 22nd, is it?
June.
It appeared on, I think, yeah. Councillor Nixon has the copy.
I think we had an update before about the IT systems being prioritised because of the local government reorganisation.
As IT falls within my remit, as Jackie's just explained, we have done an exercise to prioritise those IT systems that are going to be replaced, and we've agreed that work programme now for what to take us up to local government reorganisation. So if there's anything else in particular that members want some information on, we take that away.
Okay. It was just the fact that they appeared on the future agendas for the last meeting, and then for this one, they've dropped off.
Yeah, it just says future items, IT projects and local plan. So if anything sort of springs to mind around the IT.
In particular at the moment, there's a report that will be coming through to Cabinet that will touch on a couple of the items that are on the forward plan around shared services, local government reorganisation, which will also touch on IT as well. So when that's come through, that might maybe be something that we could pick up in the next meeting of this committee as well.
Right. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that myself and some other councillors had picked up, so just wanted to raise it.
Well, well done. Thank you, Judith. And I think that's...
Just a review of the Constitution appears twice.
So we set up the task and finish group, and then we hear the results of the...
Gotcha.
That's prior.
Okay. So that's prior to the one, I suppose, and the second one does put through.
Are there any other items pressing from the...
Can I just clarify, so the Section 106 report that's going to go to Economic Development and Planning is a holistic report of Section 106. When we discussed this at resources scrutiny, we spoke about the unallocated monies kind of being under resources scrutiny, and then obviously the future process, which was kind of briefed to us and is ongoing, is with Economic Development and Planning. And then yourself has just mentioned a potential for a joint meeting of the two scrutiny committees. If we're receiving a report that went to Economic Development Planning at their next meeting in March, where is the kind of scope on our work programme for that joint meeting? Is that something we need to just kind of allocate as an action to someone so we can facilitate that joint meeting happening? Otherwise it might just sort of linger in the air.
I think Francis Beattie's made a point of requesting this joint meeting. And she's quite strong about it, so if you're okay with us just liaising that that way, we can chase it up. Okay, is there anything else? Okay, can I thank...
Can I ask, Chair,
yep.
when I'm likely to see the minutes of the task and finish meeting that took place, the last task and finish that took place... When are we going to see the minutes of that?
They've been circulated by email already, within a couple of days of the meeting.
So, it'll be within a couple of days of what meeting?
Of the last task and finish group.
So the last task and finish, the minutes of that, will be going to the next task and finish, are you saying?
No, they've been, the draft minutes have been circulated. So the next meeting, we'll have to ratify them.
It's not that formal kind
of
meeting.
Yeah, it's slightly freer than that, isn't it?
It's notes rather than minutes.
But they have gone around.
Can you tell me when they're in notes, Jackie, please?
I'd have to have a look.
4th of September.
12th of
September. 4th?
I don't know.
Okay. Is there anything else? Okay. Can I thank members for coming along? It was a short meeting, but I feel productive. And can I thank officers for their input as well? And a welcome to Gabrielle. I bet we've had you at resources before. Thank you very much.
Thank you.